Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. A Fairbanks man missing since last month has been found dead. Alaska State Troopers report that a road construction crew discovered the body of 60-year-old Ernest Burgraff Tuesday near where the University Avenue Bridge over the Chena River is being rebuilt. Troopers say Burgraff, who had cerebral palsy, was last seen alive early on March 19th when he was dropped off at his vehicle after work. Troopers say Burgraff had been having car trouble and his vehicle was found unlocked with the keys in the ignition in the parking lot of his employer on Airport Way. Troopers say there are no signs of foul play, but the case is under investigation and Burgraff's remains are being sent to the state medical examiner for review. Next of kin have been notified. A man missing since early February in Chitna has also been found dead. State troopers say remains discovered by a Chitna resident Monday have been identified by the state medical examiner as those of 34-year-old Ian Lutz of Anchorage. They say Lutz's body was found about 70 yards from where his SUV was located crashed off the Edgerton Highway near the Chitna Village Apartments February 1st, when the temperature was between minus 20 and minus 30. A week-long search that included drone imaging and canines failed to locate Lutz. Troopers say there are no signs of foul play, and Lutz's next of kin have been notified. A bill that would fund education ahead of the rest of the state budget is working its way through the Alaska House of Representatives. KTOO and Alaska Public Media report that an amendment sponsored by Anchorage Republican Representative Sarah Rasmussen would fund education for the next two school years.
Over the last year, students have faced many disruptions due to the pandemic. And I think that it's incredibly important that the legislature provide some stability.
Democratic Representative Harriet Drummond, a former Anchorage school board member, called the amendment reassuring.
There is a great sigh of relief that's going to be felt all across this state from school districts, school board members, parents, when they understand that their child's teacher will be able to stick around and make plans, buy a home, stay in the community.
Several members of the All-Republican Minority Caucus said the amendment for the extra year of funding should have been discussed earlier. Nikiski Republican Ben Carpenter says lawmakers don't know enough about the effect of the amendment.
I'm not making an argument that early funding or forward funding education is not in the best interests of the school districts or of the teachers or of the students or any other emotional plea that we can put forward as to why this is necessary. What I'm speaking to is how we do business on this floor.
The amendment could be complicated by a court case recently argued in front of the Alaska Supreme Court, which is weighing whether it is constitutional to fund schools a year ahead of time. The House is scheduled to debate the full bill today. The state announced 199 new Alaska resident COVID-19 cases yesterday. The Department of Health and Social Services list of cases confirmed Tuesday includes 58 in Anchorage and 29 in Fairbanks. There are also 10 new cases in North Pole, plus one elsewhere in the Fairbanks North Star Borough and another in Delta Junction. Two new non-resident cases were identified statewide. The DHSS reported five new COVID hospitalizations, with 48 virus confirmed and two suspected COVID patients hospitalized statewide. Three patients were on ventilators. Over 41% of Alaskans 16 and older have been fully vaccinated. The regional council that manages federal fisheries recently heard from hundreds of people concerned about the number of salmon and other species that end up as bycatch in trawl nets. KSTK's Sage Smiley reports.
Federal fisheries data show trawlers in the North Pacific took about a tenth of the Chinook or king salmon caught by Alaska's commercial salmon fleet last year. And those numbers are tracking the same this year. But none of that's on purpose. They can't keep or sell the kings. Those salmon are bycatch and have to be donated or thrown overboard. Lexi Hackett is a Sitka-based trawler. She says the waste of the industrial trawl fleet is a black eye on Alaska's other well-managed and sustainable fisheries.
And honestly, it's just unacceptable.
This isn't a new issue, but recently the North Pacific Fishery Management Council, which manages federal fisheries, invited testimony on the issue of bycatch. Hundreds of fishermen, industry workers, and Native people and organizations from around the Pacific Northwest and Alaska wrote and called in over 3 days of this month's meeting. There are a variety of federal measures already in place to try and reduce wasted bycatch. One is what's called the Incentive Plan Agreement. It basically allows some flexibility in bycatch limits for processors and fleets by letting them earn credits for minimizing bycatch. Those credits can then be used in later years to take even more when industry analysts say bycatch is less avoidable. Some in the industry say that's a good system. Here's Austin Estabrooks with ATSI Processors Association, which represents some of the largest factory trawlers.
The incentives are clearly forcing the fleet to fish in the same general areas of lowest Chinook bycatch.
Many of those who testified to the council noted the destructive impacts on subsistence fisheries. Melissa Johnson is executive director of the Bering Sea Elders Group.
Our elders have always taught us not to waste our different food sources.
Members of the powerful North Pacific Fishery Management Council say they're listening. Council member Andy Mezzaro says he hopes to get a formal report that can shed light on the issue and that puts it in plain terms that anyone can understand.
The more informed the public is, the better they'll become aware of the extraordinary efforts that we're making to try to figure out the impacts on these communities.
The North Pacific Fishery Management Council formally requested more information on where salmon would have been returning if they hadn't been bycatch, as well as updated information to matrices that correlate salmon length to age, another vital part of determining the total impact of bycatch to Alaska's Chinook salmon populations. In Wrangell, I'm Sage Smiley.
The Klondike Gold Rush National Historical Park and Parks Canada have teamed up to open the U.S. side of the Chilkoot Trail to American hikers this summer. KHNS's Mike Swayze reports.
Parks Canada will begin taking reservations on April 27th for multi-day trips on the Chilkoot Trail, starting on or after June 1st of this year. Jason Verhaeghe is the Interpretation and Education Division Manager at Klondike Gold Rush National Historical Park. Verhaeghe imagines this summer will be an unusual opportunity to get on the trail without the typical volume of busy cruise ship seasons, even if American hikers are limited to the U.S. side.
I think some folks are thinking, how unfortunate, I can't do the whole trail. I'm looking at it as it. What a unique opportunity to be able to have the trail nearly to myself.
This season, hikers can access the summit above the Golden Staircase, but that's where they'll have to turn around.
There's a large stone monument indicating the history and the border crossing, and that is the end point.
Before June 1st, the National Park Service does ask that hikers register prior to embarking on the trail for safety and data collection reasons, though no fees will be collected prior to June 1st. Reporting from Skagway, I'm Mike Swayze.
A team of University of Alaska Fairbanks engineering students is in the finals of a national steel bridge building competition. According to a UAF release, the team recently defended a Pacific Northwest regional title it won in 2019 to move on to the national competition. Last year's bridge competition was canceled due to the pandemic, and although this year's is happening, teams are building their bridges at their home campuses and reporting the results. The long-running contest sponsored by the American Institute of Steel Construction judges the collegiate teams on efficiency, weight, and construction speed. UAF has until May 17th to submit its final project, and a winner should be announced in early June. UAF won the national title in 1993. And Dan Bross.